Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Now, Chicago, bring this back. Chicago is the band. Chicago is the city that our guest and our good friend Bill Brandt is from. But today he's in Hong Kong. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm your host. I'm responsible for the chaos around here. You know how this works. Bill is in Hong Kong. You know Bill very well. He's been a regular member of our Brain Trust for 20 years. And he's in Hong Kong reporting on what's going on over there. And in the previous segment, he gave us a great report on what's happening in Hong Kong and what's likely to happen. But you can't talk about Hong Kong without talking about China. And, Bill, the news this week in China is not just Hong Kong. It's the big news that they want you to talk about is the 70th anniversary of the Communist Party in China, right? Big birthday party.
Yeah, you know, there are several people on this phone and who are all experiencing a 70th birthday this year, and of those three entities, you, me, and China, we've all had our ups and downs, and we've fared better on some days than others. But all in all, we seem to be muddling along, you know.
We seem to be. But my birthday party wasn't as big as theirs is. I didn't have weapons. I wasn't parading.
Well, I saw all those missiles that they paraded in front of your house. So that was kind of a big. I was amazed at that.
Those were my bankers. Yeah. Those were my bankers, Bill.
Okay.
Bill.
Well, they were marching pretty good, though.
I know. tell us about the anniversary. Why is it? Why do we care? Why is it a big deal to China? And is it something that really should be celebrated?
Yeah, it's their 4th of July. October 1st, 1949 is their 4th of July. And for hundreds of years, they've tried to bring the nation together, whether you like it or don't like it. What the communist rule did is they brought the nation together. There are questions about how well it's together, but they brought it together. The truth of the matter is there are two factions in China and have been since the revolution. There are the sons and daughters of what I call the Long March people, that is, the folks who were with Mao since the beginning.
Yep.
And then there are the mercantilists, the people who were classic Chinese traders, and I maintain that the two best nations for mercantilists in the world are the Dutch and the Chinese. They've been at it long before the rest of us. And after the Long March, after the disastrous decisions by some of the Long March people, the Great Leap Forward, the Cultural Revolution, the mercantilists took over, Deng Xiaoping. Yeah. Well, and the mercantilists took over and said, look, we'll trade you growth and financial well-being for some political control. And the population generally made that bargain, and it was working very well.
Yeah.
What has happened is just in the last 10 years, the mercantilists are in recession again, and the sons and daughters of the Long March people who have a very statist view of communism are back in control, and Premier Xi is one of those. So he's now reverting China back to a more Mao-type structure. Where
why would he do that? Why would he do that when
is
the other one was so successful? What was about the other system that he saw he didn't like, other than control?
Tiananmen Square. Oh. Remember, the other system, you and I know, and one of the issues is when economic liberalism happens and people start feeling good, they start chafing at the bit about what they're being told. Tiananmen Square was an example.
So you think Tiananmen Square, they said, we can't let this get out of hand. We have to rein this in. We have to start now.
I think that there were people who said that then Premier Xi was not in control, but I think among the Long March descendants and the statists, efforts like Tiananmen Square were a harbinger of things to happen. Indeed, here in Hong Kong today.
That's a modern-day Tiananmen Square, isn't it?
Well, it could be, but if you read the mainland press, what they're most concerned about is Hong Kong infecting mainland China. In fact, their charges are that all of this protest is being done by Western-influenced spy agencies like the CIA for the singular purpose of trying to infect Shenzhen.
The Russian influence, right? So
they need a Mueller report or something.
Yeah, exactly. So, Bill, one of the things I want to make sure we get to support your story, this week the Wall Street Journal reported that China, the government, was buying up equity in companies. Now, are they doing that? Are they doing that because they want to control those companies, or are they doing it to bail them out, those companies that are having trouble? What is it? Or is it both?
It is both. The truth of the matter is, under Deng Xiaoping and the mercantilists, the communists began to liberalize the economy and allowed entrepreneurs to like Jack Ma with Alibaba, to make money. When the Long March and the statist people came back in, they didn't like this. It wasn't sufficient for the government to have maybe a 20% investment in something and a couple of seats on the board. They were much more comfortable with central planning and the old communist way, where it was a controlled economy. So they've gone back to state-owned industries, which we both know were highly inefficient. I spent a lot of years here.
This won't be good for long-term Chinese economies, will it, Bill? This reversion.
You know, the history of central planning has never been very good. Look at the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
The Chinese are trying a new model, and obviously there's enough of a memory of how to do it right with the mercantilists that they might come up with a hybrid. But right now, the credit caps in China are turned off. If you're an entrepreneur or you're running a private company, you are in line behind the folks who have the state-owned industries, and you are not being favored. And there's and Premier Xi, there's a lot of grumbling.
After all these years of moving towards a free market system, the rise of – we all know about the rise of the middle class in China. Is this gonna fly? Is this going to work? Or is there going to be a reckoning out there in the future? I got to wrap it up here. Go ahead.
Only history will tell. Traditionally, when people begin to feel pretty good about their economics, they start questioning their politics. And the Chinese bargain has always been, we'll make you rich, wealthy, and happy. Just let us run the company.
Is it possible we know that the populist movement in Europe and America and other places, and including Hong Kong, could that infect China mainland? Last thoughts.
No, I don't think so. What will change China will be basically an internal struggle, not a populist.
At the state level. Wow. It's very interesting. Good report from our good friend Bill Brandt. Folks, this is rubber meets the road stuff over there. Bill and I will be right back. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.